my Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book so I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And when you get there, say amen. Romans chapter 8. When you get there, say amen. Romans chapter 8. Where do you stand? Who's on the Lord's side? Amen. I'm going fishing. Amen, amen, amen. And I know they use a lot of things to catch fish with, but I'm going to take something that's going to really attract the fish. Take the word of God with me. Amen. It's time for us men to do what Jesus told Peter. Let down your nets. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse number 35. Romans 8, 35. Romans 8, 35. And when you get there, say amen. Romans 8, 35. The Bible says, who shall separate? Can you turn 13 down? A little bit for me, please. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37 says, nah, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen? This is part two of a message I started last week called Conquerors Through Him. Conquerors Through Him. And last week we saw in the Bible how Apostle Paul shared with the Christians at Rome about how much Jesus loves them, how much God loves them. And he gave them some information to give them hope for the future as they continue their Christian walk. He shared some things with them that that Satan uses against us to try to get us to become spiritually weak, because he knows that if he can get us to become spiritually weak, it's much more easier for him to devour us. Are you all still with me this morning? Amen. And he told us that although Satan uses these things against us, we are more than conquerors against those things. Are y'all still with me this morning? He says, in all those things, we are more than conquerors. Now, if you look once again at verse number 35, he lists the things that Satan will use against us. And I mentioned last week that I believe that everything that we face in life is somewhere in one of those things. But once again, Paul said in all these things, talked about tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and sword. He said in all those things, we are more than conquerors. Look at verse number 36. He told them, he said, as it is written, for your sakes, we are killed all the day long. We are counted sheep for the slaughter. And what he did there, he quoted the 44th Psalm, you know, because basically what he was telling them is that don't be surprised when trouble come, because trouble will come, amen. But he said, although trouble will come, you have to understand that in all the things that trouble may bring, in all the things that I've already told you about, the persecution, the distress, he said, in all these things, you are more conquerors. But look how he said we are more than conquerors. In verse number 37, he says, we are more than conquerors through him. Through him. Through him that loved us. Talking about God, talking about Jesus. Are y'all still with me? He said, in all these things, we are more than a conqueror. Notice he didn't even say that we were a conqueror. He said we were more than a conqueror. And we are more than a conqueror because God loves us. Jesus loves us. And we have already accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And by us accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we already have the victory over all those things that Paul talked about in Romans chapter 8. Are you all still with me? Amen. Now, I mentioned to you last week the word conqueror means to overcome or take by force. To overcome or take by force. This is a quick overview for those who were not here. Overcome and take by force. But Paul didn't say that we were conquerors. He said we were more than conquerors. How many of you know that word more, as I mentioned last week, means increase? Okay? That word means increase. And that word increase there means that to a greater degree. So as Christians, because we have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are conquerors through more an increase or through a greater degree. In other words, what he's saying here is that we are conquerors through the Spirit, spiritual conquerors. Why? Because the power that lives on the inside of us, the Holy Spirit, is what gives us the power to become more than conquerors over spiritual things. Now, that's important to know. Why? Because we are engaged in a spiritual warfare. So as Christians, you know, we are to overcome and take these things that Satan tried to put on us by spiritual force. Are y'all still with me? You can't see persecution, but when the things happen that persecution brings, you can witness those in the natural. But because we're in a spiritual warfare, there's nothing you can do about it in the natural, but you can do something about it in the spiritual. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. Because we have the power living on the inside of us by way of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Now, once again, if you look at those things, and I've already mentioned this, everything that we face in life is faced somewhere in there. Somewhere in tribulation, somewhere in distress, somewhere in persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. And when we closed last week, we looked at a couple of these things, and just for those who were not here, the first thing we looked at was tribulation. And we mentioned that tribulation, that just means trouble, okay? We sung a song last week, I'm so glad trouble don't last always. Do you all remember that? Amen. And we found out in the 46th Psalm, the Apostle Paul said, God is my refuge. So when I'm facing trouble, I just go to God. I just go to the Word. And I mentioned to you that to overcome these things, to be able to defeat these things that Satan sends my way, I have to do it with the Word. The written Word, the spoken Word, and the Word made flesh, who is Jesus Christ. I must depend on the Word. Because once again, remember, we are conquerors through Him. We can't do it ourselves. We are conquerors through Him. Are you all still with me? We talked about distress, okay? I told you distress brings anxiety. It brings worry, okay? It brings pain. It makes us feel sorrow based on a calamity or an event that may have happened in our life, okay? These things attack us to try to bring us down. Y'all still with me? But we looked last week at Philippians chapter 4. Let's just go there for the sake of those who were not here. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Because we need to know what we need to do when we face those situations. If we do not know what we need to do, we will not be able to overcome them. Philippians 4. We will not know how to get the victory over them. We must know what to do. And the Word tells us what to do in every one of these situations. Everyone. Are you at Philippians 4 yet? Look at what the Bible says. We saw this last week, but you know, just for those who were not here. He says, verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't you worry about a thing. But in everything, by what? Prayer. And what? Supplication. That word supplication means petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto who? Why should I let my request be made unto God? Because I am a conqueror through him. So everything must go through him. Okay? Let your request be made known to God. And when we do that, the Bible says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds, because that's why Satan attacked you in the mind. That's the spiritual battleground for those of you who do not know. Your minds will keep your heart and your minds through who? Christ Jesus. I just need to pray. Let my request be made known to God. He already knows what I'm going through. And then the Bible says, the peace of God. Not the worrying of God, but the peace of God. Are y'all still with me? Amen. We talked about persecution. We found out that they persecuted Jesus. They persecuted Jesus. They're going to persecute us. Jesus said when we're persecuted, we're blessed. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteous sake. We saw that last week. Y'all still with me? In Matthew chapter 5. So, tribulation, we already know we have the victory over that. Distress and persecution. And today I want to continue to move on from last week. Because last week, the last thing we looked at was persecution. The next thing Paul says that in all these things we are more than conquerors over is what? Famine. Famine. Amen. What's famine? Let me tell you what famine is. Famine is a shortage of food or no food at all. Because there are so many Christians who are struggling in life, they don't know what they're going to eat from day to day. I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I'm driving around the Killeen area, you know, sometimes you see, you know, we think everyone on the corner is homeless. How many know everyone on the corner is not homeless? Some of those people got more money than you have. They're just using it to get over. Amen. Did you know that? That's why you gotta use wisdom and pray to the Holy Spirit before you give all your money away. Y'all still with me? Amen. I'm just telling you, everybody's not homeless. But some of them don't have anything. But one thing they have is a sign. They say God loves you. Well, how many know God loves them also? And although they don't have food to eat or a place to live, how many know church is open every Sunday? See, sometimes sacrifices have to be made. Now, I'm not talking bad about them, but there's always a place to come. Because, see, a lot of times we don't have things because we don't, like I said earlier, you put something in, you get something out. And there are a lot of Christians. A lot of those people, they might be Christians, but people don't have things. We're talking about food because that's the one we're on. But the Bible says in all these things, we are more than what? Conquerors. So, for someone who doesn't have food and they are Christian and they are more than a conqueror, what's the problem? Well, I'm going to tell you what the problem is for a lot of people. I want you to go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. Because we have Christians who are not on the corner and they live from payday to payday and they don't have any food. And sometimes they may not know where the next meal is going to come from. I'm talking about Christians. Maybe not you all, but there are Christians in this world, I can guarantee you. Because I've met them over the years. I don't know what I'm going to do. But they're Christians. So why is it that a Christian does not have anything? Well, let's find out. In Philippians chapter 4, the Bible says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. In Philippians chapter 4, if you look at verse 15, we start right there. The Bible says, now you Philippians, Paul is talking to them, Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving. Do y'all see that? Paul is talking to them about giving. He said, no one gave me anything, okay, or received, but you, Philippians. He said, you gave to me. Are y'all still with me? He said, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once again into my necessity or needs. Paul had needs, okay? He had needs. He said, you all sent to my need. And then he says, not because I desire gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He said, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus, okay, from the Philippian church, the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So notice Paul is talking about sending and giving, okay? Sending and giving. And then he said here in verse number 19, but my God shall do what? Supply all your what? Need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He said, my God shall supply all your what? Now, many Christians know that verse. Some know it sideways. Some know it backwards. But the Apostle Paul said that for a reason. He didn't just automatically say, God shall supply your need like we do. He told them that God will supply their need because they were what? Did y'all hear that? He told them God shall supply your need because they were givers. They were givers. Well, Pastor, maybe those who don't have food don't have anything to give. This Christians, let me cross that. Let me cross that lie out right now. Everyone in this world have something to give because God has blessed you with something. The problem is people try to hold on to what they have because they're afraid that if they give, they won't get any more. That's doubt. Listen, that's not the Christian way. The Bible said we walk by faith, not by sight. We have to change our thinking. I told a message a couple of years ago something about change your way of thinking. We can't think like the world anymore. People say, I can't give because I don't have. You have something? Now, I'm not saying give everything you have away. But God has put a principle in place so that we can receive. So that our need can be met. And that principle is called giving. That's why the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. See, a lot of people don't have that concept. And I'm talking about Christians, and that's why they don't have food. The next one is nakedness, it's clothing. We're going to talk about that one too. Because Paul said, in all those things, we are what? More than conquerors. But in order to be conquerors in all those things, he said, in all those things, we are more than conquerors through who? So that means that in order to be conquerors, we need to do things God's way. We don't do things God's way. We do it our way or our way. Well, Pastor, you know, I know we're talking about food. Some people just don't have it to give. Well, listen, there's a verse in the Bible that you all know very well that says, give and it shall come back to you. Wait, don't go so fast. Give and it. What's it? Huh? Give and it. You mean food? Give and people always use that for tithes and offering. Give, and it shall come back to you. That's true. But the Bible says, give and it. And I know you all know the verse, but sometimes we have to dig spiritually. I told you we're going spiritually in this year. We have to dig spiritually into the verse. Give and it shall come back to you. What? Good measure. Pressed down. Shake it together. And what? Running over. But the key to it is to do what? That's the problem. We're still doing things the world's way instead of doing it God's way. Well, Pastor, I don't have much to give. But what did the Bible say? Give and it shall come back to you. And listen, Matthew, go to the verse. Go to Luke 6. Go to Luke 6. You got to see this. You got to see. I know you've seen it before, but you got to see. You got to see. Amen, amen, amen. It doesn't matter what it is. In all these things, you're more than conqueror. Because Satan wants to keep you poor. He wants you not to have anything. Amen. I got to hurry up. Amen, amen, amen. I got 39 minutes. We have to stop seeing things the world's way and start seeing things God's way. Are y'all there? Luke 6:38, are you there? What'd you say? 6:38. Luke 6. I want to point some out to you. Excuse me. Are you there? Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and run over. And where is it coming from? Who? That's what I wanted you to see. Shall who give to your bosom? God is blessing people to bless you because you're giving so your needs can be met. Doesn't matter what it is. See, people expect things to fall from the sky. It's not coming from the sky. It's coming from people. But the first thing we must do is obey the word. Notice what the scripture did not say. It did not say it would be given to you, good measure, pressed down, taken together, or shaken together, run over, and then give. No, give is first. And Christians are not working the principle. And that's why they don't have things. Because they don't give nothing. Now, Pastor, you know, that don't make sense because if people don't have much, you know, why would God want them to give? Well, go to 1 Kings. Go to 1 Kings. I told you, as long as we use this word against those things that Satan is using to try to cause us to be spiritually weak so he can devour us, even if we do not understand them, what the word is saying, do it anyway. Because the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. If you don't understand it, well, Pastor, that don't make sense to me. No, it's not going to make sense. It'll make faith for you if you do it. But it's not going to make sense. See? You know, we say it all the time. We are anywhere, but we're not other. Well, don't be of the world then. As a Christian, we need to find out how not to be of the world. Matter of fact, somebody write that down from of the world. I'm going to teach a message on that. Are y'all still with me? You got to do things differently. 1 Kings. People come to church all their life and they still don't pick up spiritual principles. These are spiritual principles. It don't make sense in the natural. It don't make sense to have a little and give it away. It don't make sense. Well, if I give it away, I won't have no more. It's the world's way. Are y'all still with me? Amen. I talk a lot. You know, sometimes me and my throat get a little choked up, but I'm all right. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 17. Are you there? There was a drought in the land for 3.5 years. No rain. God told Elijah in verse number 1, he said, there shall not be dew nor rain for these years. That was 3.5 years, but according to my word. Then he told him to go to the brook, drink, told him some ravens are going to feed him. Y'all still with me? Verse 7 said, the brook dried up. Famine in the land. Drought. I remember one summer, it didn't rain for a long time in Texas. Boy, people were, these farmers, they was weary. Y'all remember that? That wasn't too long ago. Say, the crop's not growing. We got to get this crop growing. How many know crop needs water? How many know Christians need water? Water of the word. Y'all still with me? God told Elijah where to go. And he told Elijah that I have already told a widow woman to feed you. He told Elijah. Look at verse number 9. He said, arise, go thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to do what? Sustain thee. God already have things in place. Already in place. I mean, he's not creating anything new. Everything's already done. So he had things in place for us, regardless of what situation we find ourselves in. They're in place. Father, you know, I know you never did this before for anyone before, but I didn't. No, no, no. You're not the first. In place. So Elijah went to the woman. Verse 10 says, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, verse 10, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, oh, by the way, bring me some bread too. Now, I want you to look at verse number 9 again. Just read it to yourself. Didn't the Bible say, but I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee? So God had already spoken to that woman. But let me tell you why I believe that she didn't hear God. Ron chapter 8, verse 88. Because of the same way we don't hear God. When we're facing situations, we're focusing more on the situation than what God said about the situation. You know, God spoke to me. Listen, the Holy Spirit is always speaking to us. You know why I say that? Because we always need leadership and guidance. And the Bible says he came to lead and guide us into all truth, right? So he's always speaking. We don't hear him because we're focused on other things. That's why that fast Pastor Janice talked about is going to be good. Because when you're fasting, most people focus on, well, I can't eat. No, don't focus on you can't eat. You don't focus on that. You focus on getting closer to God through prayer. Because the less you eat, you know, the less you got to worry about your flesh getting in the way. Are y'all still with me? That's the first thing people think about when they're going to fast, eating. Don't worry about that. That can get in your way. When God's trying to give you something, you can't hear it because your stomach growling. Anyway, back to the lesson. So he said, bring me some first. Look at the Bible say, verse 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in the barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. That tells me she was worried about the situation. But look at what Elijah said. She said, fear not, in verse 13. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake. What? When? You mean that he didn't say, I understand what you mean. Go and feed you and your sons. Y'all die. I'll go somewhere else. No. Because God had already told him, go see this woman. I've commanded her to sustain you. And Isaiah, the prophet, realized that in order to receive from God, we have to do some things first. Like give and it shall. Not it shall and give, but give and it shall. He said, make mine first. Now listen, Isaiah understood that there was a drought going on. Isaiah knew that Elijah knew there was a drought going on. Elijah knew it had not rained for 3.5 years because he was a part of it. He prayed for it not to rain 3.5 years. You see how powerful one man can be in God when he made God first? So he knew the situation. So he knew the woman didn't have much, but he knew what God told him also. In other words, he knew what the word said. The word said, I have a woman there to feed you. He said, make mine first. And bring it to me, and after you make mine, make it for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of the oil fall until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Verse 15 said, and she obeyed the word. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat for how many days? See, God can take the little and make a many out of the little if you honor him first. That's why people give in church all the time. They don't receive increase because they're not honoring God with their first fruit. They just honor him whatever they have left over. God don't want their garbage. To us, it's a lot. To God, no. You didn't do it first. Now, notice, we're talking about food here. She had a little bit. But she gave it to someone else first. I mean, you may have a chicken leg. Cut it in half and give someone else that needs food. Half of it. You'd be surprised how many of them chickens come to your door. Just because you gave somebody a piece of your leg. You gotta stop thinking that way. Are y'all still with me? Paul said he's never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. That's the 37th Psalm for those of you who are taking notes. Never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging for bread. So when fame will come, when Satan sends that spirit of fame unto you or to someone you know, just tell them, sow a seed. Share, give, because when you give, it shall come back to you. Good measure. Press down, shaking together, I'm running over. What's the next one? Naked, right? We know that means nudity or no clothes or raggedy clothes. I like to say raggedy, pick up people don't have clothes. Christians, walking around, holes in the shoes, cold outside, freezing because they don't have coats. They don't have Christians. Now, maybe not you, but I guarantee you in the world there are some. Don't have clothes. Well, clothes not everything. You better put some clothes on. We need clothes, you know. Back in the Old Testament, these people wore these old big robes. You know why they wore those big robes? Because it was heat on their body. They need to wear these things to protect their body from the heat. See, See, people thought they just there was their fashion. No, it's hot. So they wore these things to keep their skin from burning, being burnt. See? The Bible tells us how to have things. You all know it. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye. Seek you when? Seek you when? Let's go there. Matthew 6. First. God's all about the first. Seek ye first. The Bible says in Matthew 6, you know, people don't have food, don't have clothes, they're worried about it, but they're not doing anything about it. Now, I'm talking Christians here. Not doing anything about it. But they're Christians. They know Jesus. They know the Lord. And walking around broke, busted, disgusted, can't be trusted, abused, and confused. Christians. That's why we need to invite people to church so they can hear the word. A lot of Christians don't know what they have. All they know is that Jesus died for me. And I'm saved. I used to be like that. But then I realized that to find out what I have inherited through Christ Jesus, I have to go to the church. See, some people are against the church because Christians have turned them against the church. You acting up. You need God. You need to come to church. Guess what? They're not coming. That's why people don't come. That's why people don't come to church. Now, some people don't come. They just don't want to. But people don't come. You need to get your life to church. Like we perfect because we in the church and they're not. So they're not coming. But when we start talking to them about the gospel of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection, that for God so loved you that he gave his only, make it personal to them. Then they'll start thinking about that. Wow, God died for me? I told you because when I was living it out in the world in a great big city. And I was studying the Bible because I wasn't happy. I started getting in here to rededicate, before I rededicate my life. And I saw some things in here that nobody ever shared with me before. You know, I saw how all these, everybody in I saw that Jesus is the perfect one, the only one who did not sin. And I was like, wait a minute, wait. So Jesus is the only one who didn't sin in the whole Bible? Now, this helped me, you know. Because sometimes I like to, you know, I know you do too. I think outside the box. I didn't just focus on Jesus, the only one that didn't sin. I focus on, what about all these other people that God, who God used? They messed up, but God still used them? You mean to tell me Isaiah? What did Isaiah did something? Well, he might not be here what he did, but he did something. If Jesus was the only perfect one, so I said, wait a minute. If Jesus is the only perfect one, and all these other people must have messed up, and God still loved them, that means he must still love me. And it was much easier for me to rededicate my life to Jesus after all I had done. Last life, part over here, part over there. You name it, I did it all. See. Are you still with me? That's the message we need to take to the people. That God loves you. Amen? Look at Matthew chapter 6. Jesus talking here. He says, Verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Oh, ye a little faith. He said, therefore, take no thought or worry. Don't worry, saying, death and life is in the power of his tongue. What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? He said, for all these things do the Gentiles see. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. God knows everything. Pastor, if God knows I have need of them, why don't he just give them to me? Because he's not going to force anything on you. Because he might give them to you, you might not want them. God, I don't want that. It's cold out here. I don't want that coat. Listen to this. God, you gave me a pleather coat. I don't want no pleather. I want leather. See, there's a difference between a need and a want. And people don't understand the difference. A need is something that you need. A want is something that you just want that. See, going back to food, let's say, for instance, God says supply your need, you need food. You know, God might bless you with a pork chop. I don't want a pork chop. I want a steak. Well, guess what? You don't need this steak. You need food. Y'all still with me? There's a difference. The Bible says God says supply your need. It never says he will supply your want. Now, he might supply your want if you want to. But he will supply your need. Are y'all still with me? And then he said here, but seek ye what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Do y'all see that? Paul said once again in Romans, he said, you are conquerors over all those things. He's talking about those things, you know, persecution, fame, and all those things. He said, we are conquerors over those things in Christ Jesus. See, we are conquerors over those things because God will provide us with the things that we need. Okay? So we put our faith in God through Christ Jesus. We are conquerors over those things. But here God is saying in all these things, talking about food, talking about clothing, talking about drink, and all these things shall be added unto you. They shall be added. There we go again with that word added. That word added means the same thing as the word more. It means increase, okay, by a greater degree. All these things shall be added if we seek God first. I believe that every Christian knows that scripture, but they're not doing it. And that's why they are suffering in those areas that Paul talked about in Romans. Persecution, tribulation, famine, nakedness, because they're not seeking God first. I've already mentioned, in order for us to be able to overcome those things by being more than conquerors, we have to do it through him, okay, who loved us, through God, through the word, the written word, the spoken word, and the word made flesh, because everything that we go through in life, the answer is found in the word. Are y'all still with me? Need clothes? Seek God first. They need clothes, but they're not seeking God first. But wait a minute, Pastor. Because you're talking about Christians, but what about those who don't know Jesus? How can they seek him first if they don't know of him? How many of you know? That's a good question. Because everyone don't know about Jesus. The only way they're going to know is if we go tell them about him. Christians, we have to tell people. Everybody don't know about him. They may have heard of him, but they don't really know him. So because they do not know him, because they do not know that he loved them in spite of their shortcomings, they may not ever accept him. So how are they going to seek him first if they don't know him? Well, let me share with you how they're going to do that. Because Christians talk a good game. We always talk about faith, 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 faith. And we want to share the faith message with people who don't even understand faith. So how are they going to grasp it? They don't even understand it. So how are they supposed to receive food and clothing? How are they supposed to get it? Well, we already saw in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, shall men give into your bosom. What men? What men? Who's supposed to give to them? Thank you. Who said that? Say that again. Christians. We are. But we want to tell them about faith. We wanted to talk the talk. But we don't put any action behind it, so they still don't have. Pastor, what are you talking about? Go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Because a lot of people don't know Jesus. Because we haven't told them about Jesus. We haven't told them about Jesus. I got 13 minutes. I got three more to cover in 13 minutes. I can do it. You can do it. Pastor Ron, you can do it. You can do it. Are y'all still with me? Look what James says here in verse 14. He said, what doth this profit, my brethren? Talking to Christians. Though a man say he has faith, and have not works. Can faith save him? Question. He said, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, the Lord shall supply your need. Now, in this case, I'm talking about people who don't know Jesus. The Lord shall supply. They don't know the Lord. Just seek God first. They don't know how. Because we haven't taken the time to explain the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. It says, depart in peace, verse 16. Be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are what? Needed. Notwithstanding you give them not those things which are what? Needful. What doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. You know what he's saying there? Don't go talking to them. You know, God loves you. Well, he does. Just pray to him and he'll supply. He'll give to you what you need. No. You give it to them. Give it to them. Let me tell you something. Once in my life, I didn't have much, but God blessed me. And I received Jesus Christ, and since I see Jesus Christ, he has given to me in abundance. And so, because I have so much because of him, I have a coat I'll give to you. What does that do for them? What does that do for them? Instead of, you know, you need to pray. You need to pray and get you a coat. No. Give it to them. It's a witnessing moment. It's a witnessing moment. You told them, I used to be just like you. I didn't have much. But I started serving God. He started blessing me. He's not a respected person. He can do you the same way. Here, take this coat. You can have it. That just might influence them to ask you, tell me more about Jesus. What must I do to be saved? Once again, shall men give into your bosom? Sometimes we got to give. God didn't bless us just for us to have all the time. He blessed us to be a blessing to bless someone else. So the person don't know Jesus Christ, there's an opportunity for them to get to know Jesus. And you proved it not just by words, but you proved it by action. You took off your coat and said, here, take my coat. I have another one. Come on, let me go buy you a pair of shoes. I remember these guys that used to come and pick up our trash, our garbage can, you know, the garbage truck. They probably had more money than I did. But, you know, I remember one day I was going out to work, and I had some shoes on. And they said, man, I like those shoes. Now, I'm not bragging on me. I'm just telling you how people get blessed. I like those shoes. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, man, I'm going to buy both of y'all a pair of shoes. Yeah, like, really? I said, yeah, I'm going to buy both of y'all a pair of shoes. He said, okay, thank you, man. They didn't really believe me. And I went out and bought both of them a pair of shoes like it. They came one day. I said, hey, man, here's your shoe. What? Man, you bought it? I said, I told you I would. Man, we thought you were just joking. Oh, I wasn't joking. Now, I'm not saying they needed them, but they liked them. So I bought them a pair. For a long time, until they stopped working. Man, we never even had to take our trash can to the front no more. They used to just come over there and get it. Come on, the trash been emptied already? Oh, yeah, them guys. People appreciate receiving. That's why sometimes we have to give. Because people are blessed when we give. That's why God tells us to give. Because when we give, we're blessing other people, and then we receive a blessing just by us obeying the word. Are you all still with me? What does it profit? If we tell them about Jesus, they don't see no action. Faith without works, corresponding action, is not faith. I know we use that normally, verse normally for ourselves, but it's for what we do as well. Y'all still with me? Amen. What about perils? Perils. Paul says we are more than conquerors over perils. How many of you know perils is danger? Danger. 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 I'm going to give you scripture, 2 Samuel, for the second time. Chapter 22. David was in danger because Saul was after him trying to kill him. And in his danger, he said, I'm going to put my trust in God. I'm going to put my trust in God. I call upon the Lord and he trusts me. In the 31st Psalm, he's talking about, he's praying to God, told God to keep him away from the traps. Protect him from what Saul is trying to do to him. Are y'all still with me? Perils, danger, go to the Lord. That's the answer. When we go through him, we are more than conquerors over any danger that comes our way. Are y'all still with me? I have 7 minutes. Amen. The next one, sword. 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 That word sword means a short sword. I looked it up in the Greek. It means a short sword. How do I get the victory over the short sword? Well, the way you get the victory over the short sword is by using the two-edged sword. The two-edged sword? Oh, no, not quite the two-edged sword. The sword that's sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God. You can write it down. Hebrews 4:12. The Bible says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. If it's sharper than any two-edged sword, you know what it can do to a short sword. Are y'all still with me? And God has already provided us with the sword. In Ephesians, the Bible talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Everything that we need is found in the word. If I want to overcome the sword, I overcome it with the word that's sharper than any two-edged sword. Are y'all still with me? What's the next one? Is this it? The same Paul who encouraged them, was going through some of the same things they were going through. Isn't it amazing that when someone is going through what you're going through, the same exact thing, they are not sad, they're pressing on because they know that God will deliver them. They still might be going through, but they don't focus on what they are going through. They focus on, they know what the outcome is going to be as they're ministering to you. Because a lot of Christians can't minister to people unless nothing's going on in their life. But when they're struggling and going through situations, a lot of people focus on what they're going through. I don't have enough strength to talk to you because I'm going through my own thing. No. That's not the Christian way. Maybe next week, but right now I just can't deal with you. No, they need some motivation. They need to be uplifted. Maybe you can uplift them. You'll lift yourself by uplifting them. That's the Christian way. Child, I got my own issues. No. Forget about your issues. Deal with them. That's the Christian way. Jesus was facing persecution and things in the world as well, but he continued to spread the word. Same thing happened with Paul. He was going through some situations, but guess what he did? He kept on encouraging. I'm going to show it to you. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Face the same specific things that he talked about in Romans that Satan tried to use to make him spiritually weak. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to go there. You're more than conquerors. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When you get there, say amen. This is what Paul said to them, to the Christians in Corinth. He says, verse 5, let's start there. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of who? Us. He realized it's not about them, it's about Jesus. Look at what he said here. He said, we are what? Trouble. Tribulation. Trouble on every side. Yet not what? Distressed. We are what? Perplexed. But not in what? Despair. We are what? Persecuted. But not what? Forsaken. Look at Paul. Watch what Paul probably. I believe when Paul was talking to them, he had his chest stuck out. He said, well, you know, I got to have one first to stick it out. He said, we are perplexed but not despair, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not what? Destroyed. In other words, we go through the same thing you go through. He said, but always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that so the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Do you all see that? He said, we're going through the same thing you're going through, but we know where our help comes from. Our help comes from the Lord. See, the people in the Bible, they went through situations too. But they knew who to depend on. Paul knew they were more than conquerors. He had to know that because he told them that. I'm going to share one more thing with you and then I'm leaving. Or then we're going to be done. Well, eventually I'm going to be leaving. Trouble is going to come. It's going to happen. It's coming. But we are more than conquerors over it. We know the Bible says that King David was a man after God's own heart. He even had troubles. Saul's trying to kill him. All kinds of things. King David camped out a refuge when he was running from Saul in a place called Ziklag. 1 Samuel chapter 30, for those of you who are taking notes. And when he came back, the enemy had attacked the camp, had captured the women. Paul was feeling down. He was distressed. David. The people wanted to kill him. They wanted to stone him. He was down. These same things that Satan uses to try to destroy us, well, he used them against David. Now, in this world, I'm almost done. Stay with me. We're going to go through some trials. We're going to go through some tribulations. And at some time, because we live in this world, they are going to get us down sometimes. But we have to remember who has given us the victory over all those things that might be holding us down. 1 Samuel chapter 30, you can read it when you get home. The Bible said, after a while, after feeling distressed, after feeling down, the Bible said, David said, I'm paraphrasing. He said, wait a minute. What is wrong with me? The Bible said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. See, once David realized, wait a minute, what I'm doing distress. I got the victory over distress. I have the victory over persecution. I have the victory over tribulation. What's wrong with me? Let me get myself together. The Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. Instead, he said, wait a minute. Now, after he encouraged himself in the Lord, now he's back on track. He knows where his help come from. So the Bible says he asked the Lord, God, should I pursue? Listen, he said, should I pursue? God said, yeah, pursue and do what? Recover all. Listen to this, I'm close. David didn't say, well, trouble in my way. I got to cry sometime. He didn't say, well, weeping might do for a night, but joy come on morning so joy can hurt. No. He got himself together and realized that the God he served is greater than any other. And he went to the Lord. In other words, the Bible says we are conquerors through him. He went through him from where his help comes from and say, what do you want me to do, God? Should I pursue him? Because he'll pursue and recover all. And if you read 1 Samuel chapter 30, you'll find out that the Bible says, and he pursue and recover all. You tell me we don't serve a great God. Come on, stand to your feet and give God a hand praise because he's worthy. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve.